Hi, this is Jan Miyasaki, the host of the Wednesday 8 o'clock Buzz. Thank you for tuning into WORT. If you like what you're hearing, please consider making a donation at wortfm.org/donate.
And it is 8 minutes after 8, and you're listening to WORT. With me on the phone is Richard Escal. Richard is Senior Advisor for Health and Economic Justice at Social Security Works, and he's also the host of the Zero Hour on Free Speech TV. And he recently wrote the piece, 7 Rules for the Boeing Bailout for Naked Capitalism. And I wanted to talk with him this morning about the COVID-19 stimulus package. $4.3 trillion was in the fund to bail out large corporations. I'm not sure what ultimately got into the final version, but Public Citizen calling the legislation with regard to the corporate bailouts jaw-dropping corruption. Hey, good morning, Richard. Thank you for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning, Jan. It's my pleasure.
So, Richard, I've been trying to figure out, you know, what's in the bailout package and what ultimately got into the final version. I've been reading that Common Dreams. They're describing it as the looting of America by big corporations. The Progressive Change Campaign Committee released a statement over and over. The American people are told there's no money for student debt relief, for Medicare for all, for a Green New Deal to create millions of jobs and save the planet. And now at this moment, when the American people are most in need, our coffers are being looted. Can you tell us talk about what you know about this stimulus package, and do you agree?
Well, first of all, I absolutely agree with those statements. And secondly, I think it's important to understand that this bailout is like an iceberg. Most of it is not visible. And you alluded to that, and I'm glad you did, because it's important and a lot of people are missing it. Within the bill itself, there's $500 billion or so, which in normal times sounds like a lot of money, so for a corporate bailout. But the real money is somewhere between $4.5 trillion, and according to Trump's economic advisor, perhaps as much as $6 trillion in Federal Reserve bailout money going directly to corporations. And there's talk of oversight. It was written into the bill, at least for the $500 billion, in the most predictable event possible. Trump said, well, he's not even going to allow that. So what we've got is a $6 trillion injection of money into a corporate system that is responsible for this failure, responsible for not preparing for this this pandemic, which was a predictable event. It was something that could happen, and we've been warned about for many years. They did not prepare for it. They took everything they could out of their corporations and out of their employees to personally enrich themselves. Massive corruption. I keep calling it the Boeing bailout because Boeing is patient zero of corporate corruption and corporate exploitation of the public. So we have, as you said, after being told we don't have money for saving people's lives by providing Medicare for All, so a system that costs 45,000 lives a year, according to studies, all of a sudden we have the money to bail out Boeing, whose own body count is somewhere above 600 people just for the Supermax plane alone that it failed to properly test or train people on. And that's just one corporation. So this is, in my view, without a doubt, the greatest, largest transfer of public wealth to corrupt private hands in the history of humanity. And while it does offer pennies for working people, it'll probably come out to less than 10% of the total. It, in the words of Martin Luther King, it flings coins to beggars while actually reinforcing the edifice that creates beggars in the first place.
So the COVID-19 emergency spending bill, like an iceberg, you say about $500 billion for direct payments, but the $4 to maybe $6 trillion to bail out corporations, and one of the corporations set to benefit from that is Boeing. So you write about Boeing, and you use it to describe, and you call it patient zero, you call it the, can you talk about, you know, how do we, what should every bailout include then, than what we actually have in this package?
Sure, and that's part of what I wrote about in my seven rules for the Boeing bailout, was, look, in the private corporate world, if you come to somebody and say, my company's collapsing, I need money now, they'll say, okay, how much of your company will I own when we're done? In the case of Boeing, it is largely a government contractor, and then it sells to airlines, which the governments are also supporting. So I would argue that every publicly rescued company has to give up a significant portion of its ownership to the people, to the government, because they're asking the people to rescue them through the people's government. So I would say, first of all, Boeing should probably be nationalized. And if you're not a socialist, if you're, you know, okay, we'll have a discussion about breaking it up, selling it, whatever needs to be done. But there should be significant public ownership. And we should, secondly, we should make sure that all such corporations are managed in the long-term interests of, you know, the people who take Boeing, the people who fly the planes, the people who build the planes, all of us. And instead, what we're doing with all these corporations is reinforcing these perverse incentive packages for CEOs that driven off the short-term share price, so they shortchange everyone, so they can make millions for themselves. That we should have said, and maybe we can say at some point, you want our help, then you manage for the long-term interests of everybody involved. I won't go through all of them, but I would also say a lot of these companies have skeletons everywhere. I'm certain of it. They violated SEC regulations. They've done other things. They should be investigated. They should be audited. And all the executives who ran them up to this point are guilty of grievous mismanagement, or they wouldn't need the help for a predictable event. So they need to be replaced. And that's, I mean, that could go on, but I don't want to berate you, Jan. So.
Yeah. So shareholders who, you know, you have been reading about, you know, the consequences of the virus outbreak, and shareholders, folks watching their retirement funds, what do they need to understand about rescuing a corporation's operations?
It's a great question, and it's one that, you know, I didn't get into in this piece. Institutional shareholders, like pension funds, are big investors in a lot of these corporations, and I'm really glad you brought it up, because we need to talk about, for example, worker seats on corporate boards, and really getting working people represented. So I think in the long-term interests of the institutional shareholders who participate in these, who own shares in these companies, I think what we can do, should do for them, is make sure that working people have seats on boards. It's going to benefit most union pension funds, for example, if we do that. And, keeping jobs, well-paid, that sort of thing, and avoiding outsourcing and turning people into contract employees. There are many things we can do if working people have genuine ownership participation and seats on the board that are not, you know, just symbolic, but, full voting rights. So I think that's the next stage of it, and a very important one.
So the legislation that passed, got signed last week, has a ban on stock buybacks and limits on executive compensation. But there's still concern about kind of that little pot of money that the Treasury Secretary would be able to control, that there really isn't enough restrictions and that he can use it at his discretion. I think that there were some changes, but in the final bill, that still is part of this stimulus package. Can you tell me a few concerns about that?
Yes, I am. And the primary reason is we have seen time and again our government not enforce the laws that are on the books for this sort of misbehavior. We've even, you know, and I will ding the Obama administration as well for this, for example, for spending only a small fraction of the money that was allocated for homeowners after the 2008 crisis, as just one example. Lax enforcement during the Obama administration, for example, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission referred criminal investigations to the Justice Department that chose not to pursue it, even when they named identified individuals who had broken the law. And under Trump, it's going to be far worse. So that's number one. And number two is corporate America spends billions on attorneys, accountants, lobbyists, all of whom are there to make sure that they can evade whatever's on the book to maximize the personal income of CEOs and major shareholders. So forgive me for being cynical, but I don't really think there's a lot of teeth in this.
Hey, Richard, Jessica, and you know, when I scheduled, I really wanted to spend more time, but there's so much news to get to. I want to let folks know that it's Richard Jessica, Eskow, E-S-K-O-W, and you can follow him on Twitter at R-J-E-S-K-O-W. The stimulus package, a transfer of wealth and power to the super rich from the rest of us, the largest one in history, says Richard Eskow and Common Dreams. Look for his byline. Look for anything that Richard Eskow is writing about and look for him on Twitter. Looking like $4.5 to $6 trillion to corporations inside of that package. Richard, thank you. Wish you could speak longer. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.